when I published Ulysses by James Joyce in my little bookshop called Shakespeare and Company in Paris.
Look, look, the dust is growing. My branches laugh largely.
Stately clump Buck Mulligan.
All perfume, yes, and his heart was going like mad. And yes, I said yes, I will, yes.
Friends of Shakespeare and Company read Ulysses by James Joyce. Read today by Sam Jordison
and Eloise Miller. Did their conversation on the subject of these reminiscences reveal a third connecting link between them?
Mrs. Riordan, a widow of independent means, had resided in the house of Stephen's parents from 1st of September 1888 to 29th of December 1891, and had also resided during the years 1892, 1893, and 1894 in the City Arms Hotel, owned by Elizabeth O'Dowd of 54 Prussia Street, where, during parts of the years 1893 and 1894, she had been a constant informant of Bloom, who resided also in the same hotel, being at that time a clerk in the employment of Joseph Cuff of 5 Smithfield for the superintendence of sales in the adjacent Dublin cattle market on the North Circular Road.
Had he performed any special corporal work of mercy for her?
He had sometimes propelled her on warm summer evenings, an infirm widow, if independent, if limited means, in her convalescent bath chair, with slow revolutions of its wheels as far as the corner of the North Circular Road, opposite Mr. Gavin Lowe's place of business, where she had remained for a certain time, scanning through his one-lens binocular field glasses, unrecognisable citizens on tramcars, roadster bicycles, equipped with inflated pneumatic tyres, hackney carriages, tandems, private and hired landaus, dog carts, pony traps and brakes, passing from the city to the Phoenix Park and vice versa.
Why could he then support that, his vigil with the greater equanimity?
Because, in middle youth, he had often sat observing, through a roundel of bossed glass, of a multicoloured pane, the spectacle offered with continual changes of the thoroughfare without, pedestrians, quadrupeds, velocipeds, vehicles passing slowly, quickly, evenly, round and round and round the rim of a round, precipitous globe.
What distinct different memories had each of her now 8 years deceased?
The older, her bezique cards and counters, her Skye terrier, her supposititious wealth, her lapses of responsiveness and incipient catarrhal deafness, the younger, her lamp of coals oil before the statue of the Immaculate Conception, her green and maroon brushes for Charles Stuart Parnell and for Michael Davitt, her tissue papers.
Were there no means still remaining to him to achieve the rejuvenation which these reminiscences divulged to a younger companion rendered them more desirable?
The indoor exercises, formerly intermittently practised, subsequently abandoned, prescribed in Eugen Sandow's Physical Strength and How to Obtain It, which, designed particularly for commercial men engaged in sedentary occupations, were to be made with mental concentration in front of a mirror so as to bring into play the various families of muscles and produce successively a pleasant relaxation and the most pleasant repristination of juvenile agility.
Had any special agility been his in earlier youth?
Though ring weight lifting had been beyond his strength, and the full circle gyration beyond his courage, yet as a high school scholar, he had excelled in his table and protracted execution of the half-lever movement on the parallel bars in consequence of his abnormally developed abdominal muscles.
Did either openly allude to their racial difference?
Neither.
What, reduced to their simplest reciprocal form, were Bloom's thoughts about Stephen's thoughts about Bloom, and Bloom's thoughts about Stephen's thoughts about Bloom's thoughts about Stephen?
He thought that he thought that he was a Jew, whereas he knew that he knew that he knew that he was not.
what the enclosures of reticence removed were their respective parentages.
Bloom, only born male, transubstantial heir of Rudolf Virag, subsequently Rudolf Bloom, of Schombathli, Vienna, Budapest, Milan, London and Dublin, and of Ellen Higgins, second daughter of Julius Higgins, born Carolee, and Fanny Higgins, born Hegarty, Stephen, eldest surviving male, consubstantial heir of Simon Dedalus of Cork and Dublin, and of Mary, daughter of Richard and Christina Goulding, born Greer.
Had Bloom and Stephen been baptised, and where and by whom, cleric or layman?
Bloom, three times, by the Reverend Mr. Gilmer Johnston, M.A., alone in the Protestant Church of St. Nicholas Without, Coombe, by James O'Connor, Philip Gilligan and James Fitzpatrick, together under a pump in the village of Swords, and by the Reverend Charles Malone, C.C., in the Church of the Three Patrons, Rathger. Stephen once, by the Reverend Charles Malone, C.C., alone in the Church of the Three Patrons, Rathger.
Did they find their educational careers similar?
Substituting Stephen for Bloom, Stoom would have passed successively through a dame school and the high school. Substituting Bloom for Stephen Bleven would have passed successively through the preparatory, junior, middle and senior grades of the intermediate and through the matriculation, first arts, second arts and arts degree course of the Royal University.
Why did Bloom refrain from stating that he had frequented the University of Life?
Because of his fluctuating incertitude as to whether this observation had or had not been already made by him to Stephen, or by Stephen to him.
What two temperaments did they individually represent?
The scientific, the artistic.
What proofs did Bloom adduce to prove that his tendency was towards applied rather than towards pure science?
Certain possible inventions of which he had cogitated when reclining in a state of supine repletion to aid digestion, stimulated by his appreciation of the importance of inventions now common but once revolutionary, for example, the aeronautic parachute, the reflecting telescope, the spiral corkscrew, the safety pin, the mineral water siphon, the canal lock with winch and sluice, the suction pump.
Were these inventions principally intended for an improved scheme of kindergarten?
Yes. Rendering obsolete pop guns, elastic air bladders, games of hazard, catapults. They comprised astronomical kaleidoscopes exhibiting the 12 constellations of the zodiac from Aries to Pisces, miniature mechanical orreries, arithmetical gelatine lozenges, geometrical to correspond with zoological biscuits, globe map playing balls, historically costumed dolls.
What also stimulated him in his cogitations?
The financial success achieved by Ephraim Marx and Charles A. James, the former by his 1D bazaar at 42 George's Street South, the latter at his 6.5D shop and World's Fancy Fair and Waxwork Exhibition at 30 Henry Street, admission 2D, children 1D, and the infinite possibilities hitherto unexploited of the modern art of advertisement if condensed in triliteral mono-ideal symbols, vertically of maximum visibility, divined, horizontally of maximum legibility, deciphered, and of magnetizing efficacy to arrest involuntary attention, to interest, to convince, to decide.
Such as?
K. 11. Kinos. 11 shilling trousers. House of Keys. Alexander J. Keys.
Such as not?
Look at this long candle. Calculate when it burns out, and you receive gratis one pair of our special non-compo boots, guaranteed one candle power. Address, Barclay and Cook, 18 Talbot Street. Bakilikl, insect powder. Very best. Boot blacking. You want it. Combined pocket two-blade penknife with corkscrew, nail file and pipe cleaner.
such as never.
What is home without plum trees, potted meat? Incomplete. With it, an abode of bliss. Manufactured by George Plumtree, 23 Merchants Quay, Dublin. Put up in 4-ounce pots and inserted by Councillor Joseph P. Nannetti, MP, Rotunda Ward, 19 Hardwick Street, under the obituary notices and anniversaries of deceases. The name on the label is Plumtree. A plum tree is a meat pot. Registered trademark. Beward of imitations. Pete Mott. Trumply. Montpat. Plamtrue.
Which example did he adduce to induce Stephen to deduce that originality, though producing its own reward, does not invariably conduce to success?
His own ideated and rejected project of an illuminated show cart drawn by a beast of burden, in which two smartly dressed girls were to be seated, engaged in writing.
What suggested scene was then constructed by Stephen?
Solitary hotel in Mountain Pass. Autumn. Twilight. Firelit. In dark corner, young man seated. Young woman enters. Restless. Solitary. She sits. She goes to window. She stands. She sits. Twilight. She thinks. On solitary hotel paper. She writes. She thinks. She writes. She sighs. Wheels and hoofs. She hurries out. He comes from his dark corner. He seizes solitary paper. He holds it towards fire. Twilight. He reads. Solitary.
What?
In sloping upright and backhands, Queen's Hotel, Queen's Hotel, Queen's Ho...
What suggested scene was then reconstructed by Bloom?
The Queen's Hotel, Ennis, County Clare, where Rudolph Bloom, Rudolph Virag, died on the evening of the 27th of June, 1886, at some hour unstated, in consequence of an overdose of monkshood, aconite, self-administered in the form of neuralgic liniment, composed of 2 parts of aconite liniment to 1 of chloroform liniment, purchased by him at 10:20 a.m. on the morning of 27th of June, 1886, at the Medical Hall of Francis Denehy, 17 Church Street, Ennis, after having, though not in consequence of having purchased, at 3:15 p.m. on the afternoon of 27th June, 1886, a new Bota straw hat, extra smart, after having, though not in consequence of having, purchased at the hour and in the place aforesaid, the toxin aforesaid, at the general drapery store of James Cullen, 4 Main Street, Ennis.
Did he attribute this homonymity to information or coincidence or intuition?
Coincidence.
Did he depict the scene verbally for his guest to see?
He preferred himself to see another's face and listen to another's words, by which potential narration was realised and kinetic temperament relieved.
Did he see only a second coincidence in the second scene narrated to him, described by the narrator as a Pisgah site of Palestine or the parable of the plums?
It, with the preceding scene and with others unnarrated but existent by implication, to which add essays on various subjects or moral apothegms, e.g. My Favourite Hero or Procrastination is the Thief of Time, composed during school years, seemed to him to contain in itself and in conjunction with the personal equation certain possibilities of financial, social, personal and sexual success, whether specially collected and selected as model pedagogic themes of cent per cent merit for the use of preparatory and junior grade students or contributed in printed form following the precedent of Philip Beaufoy or Dr. Dick or Heblon Studies in Blue to a publication of certified circulation and solvency or employed verbally as intellectual stimulation for sympathetic auditors tacitly appreciative of successful narrative and confidently augurative of successful achievement during the increasingly longer nights gradually following the summer solstice on the day but 3 following Widerliket, Tuesday, 21st of June, S. Aloysius, Gonzaga, sunrise, 3:33 a.m., sunset, 8:29 p.m.
Which domestic problem, as much as, if not more than, any other frequently engaged his mind?
what to do with our wives.
What had been his hypothetical singular solutions?
Parlour games, dominoes, halma, tiddlywinks, spillikins, cup and ball, nap, spoil, five, bezique, 25, beggar my neighbour, drafts, chess or backgammon, embroidery, darning or knitting for the police-aided clothing society, musical duets, mandolin and guitar, piano and flute, guitar and piano, legal scrivenery or envelope addressing, bi-weekly visits to variety entertainments, commercial activity as pleasantly commanding and pleasingly obeyed mistress proprietress in a cool dairy shop or warm cigar divan, the clandestine satisfaction of erotic irritation in masculine brothels, state inspected and medically controlled, social visits, at regular, infrequent, prevented intervals, and with regular, frequent, preventative superintendents, to and from female acquaintances of recognised respectability in the vicinity, courses of evening instruction specially designed to render liberal instruction agreeable.
What instances of deficient mental development in his wife inclined him in favour of the last mentioned ninth solution?
In disoccupied moments, she had more than once covered a sheet of paper with signs and hieroglyphics, which she stated were Greek and Irish and Hebrew characters. She had interrogated constantly at varying intervals as to the correct method of writing the capital initial of the name of a city in Canada, Quebec. She understood little of political complications, internal or balance of power external. In calculating the addenda of bills, she frequently had resource to digital aid. After completion of laconic epistolary compositions, she abandoned the implement of calligraphy in the encaustic pigment exposed to the corrosive action of copperas, green vitriol and nut gall. Unusual polysyllables of foreign origin she interpreted phonetically or by false analogy or by both. Metempsychosis, metempsychosis, alias, a mendacious person mentioned in sacred scripture.
What compensated in the false balance of her intelligence for these and such deficiencies of judgment regarding persons, places, and things?
The false apparent parallelism of all perpendicular arms of all balances proved true by construction, the counterbalance of her proficiency of judgment regarding one person proved true by experiment.
How had he attempted to remedy this state of comparative ignorance?
Variously. By leaving in a conspicuous place a certain book open at a certain page, by assuming in her, when alluding explanatorily, latent knowledge, by open ridicule in her presence of some absent other's ignorant lapse.
With what success had he attempted direct instruction?
She followed not at all, a part of the whole, gave attention with interest, comprehended with surprise, with care repeated, with great difficulty remembered, forgot with ease, with misgiving re-remembered, re-repeated with error.
What system had proved more effective?
Indirect suggestion, implicating self-interest.
Example?
She disliked umbrella with rain. He liked woman with umbrella. She disliked new hat with rain. He liked woman with new hat. He bought new hat with rain. She carried umbrella with new hat.
Accepting the analogy implied in his guest parable, which examples of post-exilic eminence did he adduce?
Three seekers of the pure truth. Moses of Egypt, Moses Maimonides, author of Moronbukin, Guide of the Perplexed, and Moses Mendelssohn, of such eminence that from Moses of Egypt to Moses Mendelssohn, there arose none like Moses Maimonides.
What statement was made under correction by Bloom concerning a fourth seeker of pure truth by name Aristotle, mentioned with permission by Stephen?
That the seeker mentioned had been a pupil of a rabbinical philosopher, name uncertain.
Were other apocryphal, illustrious sons of the law and children of a selected or rejected race mentioned?
Felix Bartholdy Mendelssohn, composer, Baruch Spinoza, philosopher, Mendoza, pugilist, Ferdinand Lassalle, reformer, dualist.
What fragments of verse from the ancient Hebrew and ancient Irish languages were cited with modulations of voice and translation of text by guest to host and by host to guest?
By Stephen. Suil, suil, suil arun, suil go sioca agus, suil go quin. Walk, walk, walk your way, walk in safety, walk with care. By Bloom. Kifeloch, harimon, rakadech, bad, zamjitek. Thy temple amid thy hair is as a slice of pomegranate.
Was a glyphic comparison of the phonic symbols of both languages made in substantiation of the oral comparison?
On the penultimate blank page of a book of inferior literary style entitled Sweets of Sin, produced by Bloom and so manipulated that its front cover came in contact with the surface of the table, with a pencil supplied by Stephen. Stephen wrote the Irish characters for G, E, D, M, simple and modified, and Bloom, in turn, wrote the Hebrew characters, Kimel, Aleph, Daleth, and, in the absence of Mem, substituted Goth, explaining their arithmetical values as ordinal and cardinal numbers, Widerliket, 3, 1, 4, and 100.
Was the knowledge possessed by both of each of these languages, the extinct and the revived, theoretical or practical?
Theoretical, being confined to certain grammatical rules of accidents and syntax, and practically excluding vocabulary.
What points of contact existed between these languages and between the peoples who spoke them?
The presence of guttural sounds, diacritic aspirations, epenthetic and servile letters in both languages, their antiquity, both having been taught on the plain of Shinar 242 years after the deluge in the seminary instituted by Phineas Farsar, descendant of Noah, progenitor of Israel, and ascendant of Heber and Heremon, progenitors of Ireland, their archaeological, genealogical, hagiographical, exegetical, homilectic, toponomastic, historical, and religious literatures comprising the works of rabbis and kuldis, Pora, Talmud, Mishnah and Gemara, Masor, Pentateuch, Book of the Dun Cow, Book of Ballymote, Garland of Howth, Book of Kells, their dispersal, persecution, survival and revival, the isolation of their synagogical and ecclesiastical rites in Ghetto, St. Mary's Abbey and Mass House, Adam and Eve's Tavern, the proscription of their national costumes in penal laws and Jewish dress acts, the restoration in Chanan David of Zion, and the possibility of Irish political autonomy or devolution.
What anthem did Bloom chant partially in anticipation of that multiple, ethnically irreducible consummation?
Kolod Balajwa Pnumia Nefesh Jehudi Homijar.
Why was the chant arrested at the conclusion of this first distich?
In consequence of defective mnemotechnic.
How did the chanter compensate for this deficiency?
By a periphrastic version of the general text.
In what common study did their mutual reflections merge?
The increasing simplification traceable from the Egyptian epigraphic hieroglyphs to the Greek and Roman alphabets, and the anticipation of modern stenography and telegraphic code in the cuneiform inscriptions Semitic and the virgular quinque costate ogham writing Celtic.
Did the guest comply with his host's request?
Doubly, by appending his signature in Irish and Roman characters.
What was Stephen's auditive sensation?
He heard, in a profound, ancient, male, unfamiliar melody, the accumulation of the past.
What was Bloom's visual sensation?
He saw, in a quick, young, familiar form, the predestination of a future.
What was Stephen's and Bloom's quasi-simultaneous volitional quasi-sensations of concealed identities.
Visually, Stevens, the traditional figure of hypostasis, depicted by Johannes Damascenus, Lentulus Romanus, and Epiphanius Monarchus as leucodermic, sesquipedalian, with wine-dark hair. Auditively, Blooms, the traditional accent of the ecstasy of catastrophe.
What future careers had been possible for Bloom in the past, and with what exemplars?
In the church, Roman, Anglican and nonconformist exemplars, the Very Reverend John Conmee, S.J., the Reverend T. Salmon, D.D., Provost of Trinity College, Dr. Alexander J. Dowie, at the bar, English or Irish, exemplars, Seymour Bush, K.C., Rufus Isaacs, K.C. On the stage, modern or Shakespearean exemplars, Charles Wyndham, high comedian, Osmond Till, 1901, exponent of Shakespeare.
Did the host encourage his guests to chant in a modulated voice a strange legend on an allied theme?
Reassuringly, their place, where none could hear them, talk being secluded, reassured, the decocted beverages allowing for subsolid residual sediment of a mechanical mixture, water plus sugar plus cream plus cocoa, having been consumed.
Recite the first major part of this chanted legend. Condense Stephen's commentary.
One of all, the least of all, is the victim predestined. Once by inadvertence, twice by design, he challenges his destiny. It comes when he is abandoned and challenges him, reluctant and, as an apparition of hope and youth, holds him unresisting. It leads him to a strange habitation, to a secret infidel apartment, and there, implacable, immolates him, consenting.
Why was the host, victim predestined, sad?
He wished that a tale of a deed should be told, of a deed not by him, should by him not be told.
Why was the host, reluctant, unresisting, still?
In accordance with the law of the conservation of energy.
Why was the host, secret infidel, silent?
He weighed the possible evidences for and against ritual murder, the incitation of the hierarchy, the superstition of the populace, the propagation of rumour in continued fraction of veridicity, the envy of opulence, the influence of retaliation, the sporadic reappearance of atavistic delinquency, the mitigating circumstances of fanaticism, hypnotic suggestion, and somnambulism.
From which, if any, of these mental or physical disorders was he not totally immune?
From hypnotic suggestion. Once, waking, he had not recognised his sleeping apartment. More than once, waking, he had been for an indefinite time incapable of moving or uttering sounds. From somnambulism, once, sleeping, his body had risen, crouched and crawled in the direction of a heatless fire, and having attained its destination, there, curled, unheated, in night attire, had lain sleeping.
Had this latter, or any cognate phenomenon, declared itself in any member of his family?
Twice. In Hollis Street and in Ontario Terrace, his daughter, Millicent, Millie, at the ages of 6 and 8 years, had uttered in sleep an exclamation of terror, and had replied to the interrogations of two figures in night attire with a vacant, mute expression.
What other infantile memories had he of her?
15th of June, 1889, a querulous, newborn female infant crying to cause and lessen congestion, a child renamed Padney Socks. She shook with shocks her money box, counted his three free money penny buttons, one blue tlee, a doll, a boy, a sailor she cast away, blonde, born of too dark. She had blonde ancestry, remote, a violation. Her Haupten and Heino, Austrian army, proximate, a hallucination. Lieutenant Mulvey, British Navy.
What endemic characteristics were present?
Conversely, the nasal and frontal formation was derived in a direct line of lineage which, though interrupted, would continue at distant intervals to its most distant intervals.
What memories had he of her adolescence?
She relegated her hoop and skipping rope to a recess. On the Duke's lawn, entreated by an English visitor, she declined to permit him to make and take away her photographic image, objection not stated. On the South Circular Road, in the company of Elsa Potter, followed by an individual of sinister aspect, she went halfway down Stamer Street and turned abruptly back, reason of change not stated. On the vigil of the 15th anniversary of her birth, she wrote a letter from Mullingar County, Westmeath, making a brief allusion to a local student, faculty and year not stated.
Did that first division, portending a second division, afflict him?
Less than he had imagined, more than he had hoped.
What second departure was contemporaneously perceived by him, similarly, if differently?
A temporary departure of his cat.
Why similarly? Why differently?
Similarly, because actuated by a secret purpose, the quest of a new male Mullingar student, or of a healing herb, valerian. Differently, because of different possible returns to the inhabitants or to the habitation.
In other respects, were their differences similar?
In passivity, in economy, in the instinct of tradition, in unexpectedness.
As?
In as much as leaning, she sustained her blonde hair for him to ribbon it for her. Cf. neck-arching cat. Moreover, on the free surface of the lake in Stephen's Green, amid inverted reflections of trees, her uncommented spit, describing concentric circles of waterings, indicated by the constancy of its permanence the locus of a somnolent prostrate fish. Cf. mouse-watching cat. Again, in order to remember the date, combatants, issue and consequences of a famous military engagement, she pulled a plait of her hair, cf. Ear-washing cat. Furthermore, silly Millie, she dreamed of having had an unspoken, unremembered conversation with a horse whose name had been Joseph, to whom, which, she had offered a tumblerful of lemonade, which it, he, had appeared to have accepted, cf. Half-dreaming cat. Hence, in passivity, in economy, in the instinct of tradition, in unexpectedness, their differences were similar.
In what way had he utilised gifts 1, an owl, 2, a clock, giving as matrimonial auguries to interest and to instruct her?
As object lessons to explain 1, the nature and habits of oviparous animals, the possibility of aerial flight, certain abnormalities of vision, the secular process of embalsamation, the principle of the pendulum, exemplified in bob, wheel gear and regulator, the translation in terms of human or social regulation of the various positions clockwise of movable indicators on an unmoving dial, the exactitude of the recurrence per hour of an instant in each hour when the longer and the shorter indicator were at the same angle of inclination, widdelyket, 5/11 minutes past each hour per hour in arithmetical progression.
In what manners did she reciprocate?
She remembered. On the 27th anniversary of his birth, she presented to him a breakfast moustache cup of imitation Crown Derby porcelain ware. She provided, at quarter day or thereabouts, if or when purchases had been made by him, not for her, she showed herself attentive to his necessities, anticipating his desires. She admired, a natural phenomenon, having been explained by him, not for her, she expressed the immediate desire to possess, without gradual acquisition, a fraction of his science, the moiety, the quarter, a thousandth part.